absolute immeasurable devastation.
That's Curry County Commissioner Court Boyce at a community meeting about the Chetco Bar Fire held in Brookings in late September.
We just lost 200,000 acres of some of the best land in the state of Oregon. Our economic setbacks are even incalculable at this time.
Boyce helped write a leaflet that was handed out at that meeting. It describes a landscape destroyed by fire, killing millions of animals, releasing huge stores of carbon dioxide, ravaging recreational areas, and threatening drinking water. A few weeks later, a team of Forest Service scientists released their analysis of the damage done by the fire. Their findings were somewhat less dire.
It wasn't as hot as we originally thought it was. That's a really good thing.
Ann Pupatanapong is a member of the Burned Area Emergency Response, or BEAR, team that evaluated the Chetco Bar Fire. The BEAR team found only 7% of the soils in the fire area, about 14,000 acres, had burned at high severity. In fact, 59%, more than 100,000 acres, had soil that burned at low or very low severity or were completely unburned. When it comes to burned trees, the figures are higher. More than a third of the area sustained moderate or severe tree kills. Still, Ann Pupatanapong says natural recovery is already underway.
We are seeing vegetation starting to grow back. We do see wildlife using some of those burned landscapes already. We saw deer and birds, of course, small mammals using those areas.
Pupatanapong says popular recreational areas such as Nook Bar and Redwood Bar didn't suffer severe soil damage either. But the slopes that did burn severely have lost the ability to absorb much rainfall, and that could lead to erosion and degraded water quality. Still, Pupatanapong says even that's a short-term impact that has an upside as well.
You're going to have increases in nutrients down the stream. You're going to have increases in debris flow. The stream temperature is going to change. But in the long term, you know, we're going to get a lot of woody debris into the river, which is going to be great habitat for salmon.
That said, the BEAR team found many areas where roads, rivers, and natural resources are at high or very high risk of damage if prompt action isn't taken to protect them. Joni Brazier is a soil scientist and BEAR team coordinator with the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. She says stabilizing roads is a major priority.
The biggest concern for the potential for erosion reaching water bodies is really making sure that our road system is firmed up.
If roads get overwhelmed by heavy rains, they can wash out, driving tons of gravel and debris into waterways. Brazier says so-called storm patrols are one way to prevent that.
We received funding to make sure that we have folks out driving those roads during storm events and making sure that culverts aren't getting plugged. And if they are, we've got equipment available to clear those.
The BEAR team recommended a variety of actions to stabilize slopes, remove hazard trees, repair trails, prevent the spread of invasive plant species, and more. Most of that work has been approved and funded and will soon get underway. But some damage can't be repaired. Half the known spotted owl nesting areas and 37% of the marbled murrelet habitat in the burn zone were in moderate or severe burn areas. That means those areas lost 40% or more of their tree canopy. Since these endangered birds need intact canopy to survive, Ann Pupatanapong says,
we're going to be waiting decades or more for these habitats to recover.
The main concern for national forest managers is to get as many of the planned treatments in place as possible before heavy winter rainstorms arrive. The BEAR team calculates it has a 70 to 85% chance of completing emergency treatments before a damaging storm hits and undoes the repairs. Liam Moriarty, JPR News.